Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let's get our singers up here.
Did you even get back up?
Oh, Lord, my God, when I am on this wonders, consider all the world that hand had made. I see the stars. I hear a roll of thunder. Their power throughout the universe display. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Went through the woods and poorly glad I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain yettern and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And when that God his son's not sparing, send him to die and sure can take it in, that on the cross my birdie gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. When Christ shall come with shouting exhortation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And I shall bow in humbling exhortation and there proclaim, my God, how great they are. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my song, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, when I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the door of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. If O Christ, I proclaim glad story. If I seek for the sheep a going stray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last bow of the way. If proclaim of the dust we must serve, here's the sorrows are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighting forever when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have early the strife, and I had tried, will obey, twinkling bells all in rafters of heaven, when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way. When I'm gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that await me when I'm gone the last mile of the way.
All right, Sister Millie. Thank you, Brother Bob. I sing it from my heart, you know what I'm saying?
Shackles of a heavy burden, guilty with a empty shame. Then I touch the hands of Jesus, now I'm no longer the same. Oh, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met my blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will always praise him no matter where I go. For he touched me, for he touched me, and oh, what a joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Now I'm going to sing this one. Because I went down to the river today, thinking about them good old days where the blue sky's gray, the sun will shine, good Lord, show us the way. Oh, Father, let's go down. Come on down, let's go down. Oh, Father, let's go down, down to the river and pray. As I went down to the river today, thinking about them good old days where the blue sky's gray, The sun will shine, good Lord, show us the way. Oh, Mother, let's go down. Come on down, let's go down. Oh, Mother, let's go down, down to the river and pray. As I went down to the river today, thinking about them good old days where the blue sky's gray. Sun will shine, good Lord, show us the way. Oh, Brother, let's go down. Come on down, let's go down. Oh, Brother, let's go down, down to the river and pray. As I went down to the river today, thinking about them good old days where the blue sky's gray. Sun will shine, good Lord, show us the way. Oh, sister, let's go down. Come on down, let's go down. Oh, sister, let's go down, down to the river and pray. As I went down to the river today, thinking about them good old days where the blue sky's gray. Sun will shine, good Lord, show us the way. Everybody, let's go down. Come on down, let's go down. Everybody, let's go down, down to the river and pray.
Thank you, Sister Millie. All right. This is a Thursday evening, the day the good Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I've got something I want to share with everyone before we get into the service tonight. You know, if we look at God's Word, we can find everything we need in this life, in His Word. I've been walking now with this creature on me long enough. And I'm asking you all that are here, how many of you really believe in prayer by faith? You really believe that? But you know, the book of James tells us, he says, is any sick among you, let them call to the elders of the church and let them pray the prayer of faith. So if you really believe that, then your prayer is done in faith. And he said that prayer of faith will heal the sick. Well, I'm part of this equipment. So before we get into the service, I'm going to ask all of you to meet me down front and pray for me. You know, the more we learn to walk in His Word, and we put our trust in Him, the stronger we can grow, and the more we will grow. You know, the early churches, what built them was seeing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in them. And then hearing the Word and walking in the Word. Just knowing the Word don't get the job done. You got to walk in it. You got to bring it into your life. You got to live it. That's what makes it work, is living it. So we've got to put our trust, all of our faith in Him. Now that don't mean we don't believe in doctors. He had one on his staff. One of his apostles was a doctor, and that was Luke. Luke was a physician. And it don't say nothing in the Bible about him actually stop being a physician. We know he followed Jesus. But it don't say how he made his living. We know that the Lord can take care of all of us, regardless of how we would make our living. He's been taking care of me for a long, long time. Seeing that work was always there and always had the ability to do it. And I don't believe he's going to stop now. But I've done exactly what his Word told me to do. My faith, my belief, my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit among us. All right. Brother Dennis, let's see what the Lord's laid on your heart this week.
Good evening. As it so happens, what I was going to talk about has abruptly changed. Believe it or not, it was exactly what he was just talking about. That's what we're going to be talking about. So, I want to talk to you first. We're going to be talking about faith, but more importantly, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of salvation and what is saved and not saved in those terms. So I want to give you a real quick Bible definition. And this is coming straight out of the Blue Letter Bible, you know, because that's a good reference source. And their definition of the Blue Letter Bible for salvation means deliverance from destruction, difficulty or evil, and just normal preservation. Okay? So, let's say we're going to be playing this one by ear, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will be guiding me, because this is all off the cuff, because I have something totally different for you. All right, so if you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11. What I want to talk to you about is there's a false doctrine floating around out there that says once saved, always saved, and that is a pure false doctrine. salvation is not the same thing as being saved, by the way. And I want to clarify that. And I really shouldn't call the doctrine itself a false doctrine, but what they're preaching and what they're saying it is completely false. Once you're saved, you are saved. That is God's honest truth. However, salvation is a lifetime commitment. This starts from the time that you start, that you are saved, all the way to the day you die. That's what salvation is, okay? And we're going to be going into some other scriptures here, but, you know, Christ gave many parables on this very subject, many parables. Matthew 20 through 24 is pretty much on this very subject. All the parables that are in there, you know, the 10 virgins, the 10 talents, all this stuff is dealing with this one subject. I mean, people can spin it however they want, but it's truly what they're talking about. And salvation is, you know, it's a gift that's given to you. But just like the parable of the 10 talents goes, you have to do some stuff as well. You know, we have the Great Commission that was given to us. We have to do certain things as well. We have to go out and make disciples of other people. We need to bring these people into the church, into the fold. We need to let everybody know about these things. I mean, if you see somebody and you don't talk to them, and at least plant that seed in their heart, then guess what? This book right here says their blood is on your hands now, okay? We need to understand that. People don't understand that we need to get out there and be preaching on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And some of the things that we're going to cover today, which we're going to go all the way back to the beginning, but all these things you need to be understanding. So if you will, we're going to be in Hebrews 11. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We're only going to read just a few verses. And before I get into this particular section of this, Moses was a type of Christ, okay? If you study what happened with Christ and you study what happened with Moses, you'll see there's a lot, I mean, a whole lot of parallels between Moses and Christ. And in fact, Paul tells us that the Exodus story, in and of itself, is supposed to be used for the end times, to get us prepared for the end times, to let us know how things happen. It's a foreshadow, is what he actually, the word that he actually used, is a foreshadow of things to come. That was his exact words. So if you go back and you read Exodus, and then particularly Exodus and Deuteronomy, you can see all these different things. And you got to understand that these were saved people. They were saved. The book actually used the word salvation whenever they were pulled out. They were saved out of Egypt. Now, what is saved, actually? What are you saved from? Are you saved from going to hell? Or are you saved from your sins? This says you're saved from your sins. Okay? And if you work on your salvation throughout all this, throughout your lifetime, because, you know, it's just like everything else. You start off, you know, drinking milk, and then you go up to mushy food, and then you go up to eating steak. You know, that's basically the same life as a Christian. You're going to start off small, drinking milk and understanding a little bit, and you're going to grow a little bit more and understand a little bit more. Then you grow some more and understand a lot more. And that's part of your path to salvation. You got to understand these things. It's not a once-done type thing. Being saved is not a license to sin. You know, that's not what grace is all about. It's not a license to sin. It does give you a certain amount of grace, but that don't mean, Pastor Tony has said many, many, many times, standing right here, it is not a license to sin. If you keep sinning and you know you're doing something wrong, there's no more sacrifice for you, okay? You got to understand these things, and by the same point, you got to have faith. You got to have unabashable faith. You have to have faith. And before I get really into the reading, there's a couple of things that I always do this. Tell you a little bit of some of the stuff that's going on in the world that actually relates to what we're talking about. The United Nations just recently, more specifically, UNESCO, which is part of the United Nations, the economic part of it. Everybody's been talking about, and I've said it many times myself, several times standing here, we're fixing to have the Great Reset, where the economy's going to collapse, and they're going to bring in whatever it is that they're going to bring in, okay? The United Nations has just put forth, I don't want to call it a law, because technically they don't make laws, edict or whatever you want to call it, forcing all the media, social media, newspapers, public in general, if you say anything from this point on, if you start talking about the Great Reset, or you start talking about how things are, you know, what's going on in the world, they're calling you literally, and the word they use is a conspiracy theorist, and you're supposed to be reported, literally, reported to your local police agency, and they're supposed to arrest you. And that was just put out. So it's already started. You know, well, guess what? All this stuff is in the Bible. Okay? So if you start talking about, you know, the one world government, the beast government, which is in the Bible, and you start talking about the, you know, one world currency, which is in the Bible, you know, you start talking about all these things, well, guess what? They now have the right to arrest you. And it's out there. I mean, it's already started. It's already started. We've been saying this for a long time, but it's here. It's here now. Okay? That's why the message that I'm going to be talking about today, which is faith, is vitally important, because it could very well happen within the next 2-3 years where you're not only put in jail, but you're facing either a firing squad or a guillotine that's going to chop your head off, making you renounce your faith. It's vitally important. If you don't have good, strong faith, then get it now. Work on it now. And the only way that you can build faith is by hearing the Word of God and by reading. And that's literally what the book says to you. Okay? It's the only way you can build faith is by hearing the Word. All right, so I just wanted to let y'all know that, you know, the things are happening. They're in hyper speed right now, okay? 10 years ago, we would have said all this stuff is 100 years in the future. And 2 years ago, we would have said, well, it's 10 years in the future. Well, guess what? We're here now. It's upon us. All this stuff, they could literally flick the switch right now, literally just like that. All it takes is, you know, the powers to be say, here it is. The economy collapses. They bring in whatever one world government they want to bring in and bring in whatever one world currency they want it to be, and you're stuck with it. Oh, and by the way, guess what these 87,000 new IRS agents are going to be for? For this very thing, okay? Because guess what? If you're a conspiracy theorist talking about the Bible, well, we done seen what the IRS does to people that have conservative views or Christian values. They put them in jail. They take away all their property. They've already demonstrated that. And now they just hired 87,000 more new IRS agents. Oh, and by the way, while you are not allowed to have an AR-15, they are being issued machine guns, automatic weapons, not even semi-automatic. They're issuing them automatic. So just food for thought there. So turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to start with verse 23. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because he saw that this child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's evil. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. Okay. So all this is talking about faith. And let's say we're fixing to go to this very story in Deuteronomy. But before we do, I want to point out because that's ultimately what my thing is going to be on tonight, just the comparison between Moses and Christ. But some of the real obvious things in Paul here, whenever he was writing this, he pointed out some of the same characteristics of Moses and Christ. One was, you know, they were both put into exile to Egypt, by the way, when they were little. They both saved people or baptized people through water. Okay. They both were, for the most part, taken care of as a child by Mary. Moses was Miriam, which is the same as Mary, and Christ's mother's name was Mary, or Miriam. Yes. They both met a young lady at a well and saved him right there. Yeah, those are just a few of the I found over 50 similarities, over 50 of them, between Christ and Moses. And I'm talking about things that they physically did, not necessarily who they are, but things that were just absolutely the same. All right, so let's go to Deuteronomy now. We're going to start off in Deuteronomy 1. And this is the part that's going to be getting back into the faith and the salvation for it. Right. We're going to read, hopefully we'll have enough time. We'll read the whole chapter. We'll read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy. And by the way, I'm not reading out of the King James tonight. One, literally fell apart on me. So I brought this other one with me. But not only that, I got another King James, but the writing's too small, I can't read it. All right. These are the words Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabia opposite Suppah, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazoreth, and Dizabad. It is an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, by the way of Mount Seir. In the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first of the month, Moses told the Israelites everything the Lord had commanded him to say to them. This was after he defeated King Sihon of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and King Og of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth. And Edrei, across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb. You have stayed at this mountain long enough. Resume your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and their neighbors of Arabia, the hill country, the Judean foothills, Negev, and the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites into Lebanon, as far as the great river to the Euphrates. We have set the land before you. Enter and take possession of the land the Lord swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their future descendants. Excuse me. I have said to you at that time, I can't bear the responsibility for you on my own. The Lord your God has so multiplied you that today you are as numerous as the stars in the sky. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you by 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised. For how can I bear the troubles, burdens, and disputes myself? Appoint for yourselves wise understanding and respected men from each of your tribes, and I will make them your leaders. You replied to me, what you purpose to do is good. So I took the leaders of your tribes, wise and respected men, and set them over you as leaders, commanders for thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens, and officers for your tribes. I commanded your judgments at the time. Hear the cases between your brothers and judge rightly between them, between a man and his brother or his resident alien. Do not show partiality when deciding a case. Listen to all small and great alike. Do not be intimidated by anyone, for judgment belongs to God. Bring me any case too difficult for you, and I will hear it. At any time I commanded you about all these things you were to do. We then set out from Horeb and went across all the great and terrible wilderness you saw on the way to the hill country of the Amorites, just as the Lord God had commanded us. When we reached Kadesh Barnea, I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord the God of your fathers has told you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Remember that. Then all of you approached me and said, let's send men ahead of us so that they may explore the land for us and bring back a report about the route we should go up and the cities where we come to. The plan seemed good to me, so I selected 12 men from among you, one from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol, scouting the land. They took some of the fruit from the land in their hands and carried it down to us and brought us back a report. The land the Lord has given us is good. But you were not willing to go. You rebelled against the command of the Lord our God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord has brought us out to the land of Egypt to hand us over to the Amorites in order to destroy us because he hates us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us loose heart, saying the people are larger and taller than we are, and the cities are large fortified to the heavens. We also saw the descendants of the Anakim there. So I said to you, don't be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight for you, just as you saw him do for you in Egypt. And you saw in the wilderness how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son all the way and traveled until you reached this place. But in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God who went out before you on the journey to seek out a place for you to camp. He went by the fire by night and in the cloud by day to guide you on the road to where you travel. When the Lord your God heard your words, he grew angry and swore an oath. And we're going to stop right there for just a second. Okay? I'm going to bring in another little story before we get into the rest of this, because it ties in to what we're talking about as well, because it's not in this particular story. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he was up there being instructed by God, given the law and the Ten Commandments. He was up there for 40 days and for 40 nights. Okay, during that time, just as when Christ was in the desert in the wilderness, he didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down from the mountain, he was transfigured, so to speak. He was glowing. In other words, he had to put a veil over his face. Had to put a veil. He had to be completely covered because he scared the people, scared them to death. And that, by the way, is just another one of the similarity between Christ and Moses being transfigured. Not only that, but he was also on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. But nonetheless, whenever he was up on the mountain, right when he was getting ready to come down, you know, the trumpet blew and he came down. Another thing that happened during that whole process is they gave up hope. They gave up on him. Because in their eyes, he was their Christ. He was their Savior. He was the one that was pulling them out. Okay, they gave up on him. Much like people of the day are doing with Christ. You know, it's been 2,000 years. I can't count how many times I've personally heard, well, it's been 2,000 years. If Houston County, we would have already came. So it's got to be a fairy tale. Same thing happened. They built a golden calf. And there's another thing that just recently happened with a golden calf too, by the way, but I can get into that right now. But they built a golden calf, their visualization of God, so to speak. And they were out there when Moses came down, he'd seen them, and they were out there dancing and having a good old time, drinking and doing all that stuff. Now, you got to understand, these people were saved. They were saved. They were pulled out of Egypt. They were saved from the Pharaoh. Just like you're saved from sin. They were saved. Okay. The book uses the exact same words. Both places. Okay. The exact same words. They were saved. But they turned. Okay? They were saved. Pharaoh wasn't after them anymore. But they turned. That's what I was talking about. This once saved, always saved stuff. Yeah, Christ has saved you. But he didn't save you from yourself. He saved you from sin. That's the whole point I'm trying to make with all this. You can screw it up. You can screw it up. Salvation, you can still fix it. You can fix it all the way up to the time you hit the grave. Problem with that whole thing is people think they're going to live forever. You know, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it next week. Or I can do it next year. I could literally stand here right now talking and fall dead right now. And I literally could. Could have a heart attack or an aneurysm or something, fall dead right now. Same with anybody else. You don't know how much time you've got. You know, it says that Christ pulls you out like a thief in the night. Well, that thief in the night part, I think, firmly deals with that whole time period between him coming, okay? Because you never know when you're going to have your ticket punched. You just never know. That's why you got to always be on the upright, always be working for improving your salvation, doing whatever it is that you can do to improve what it is that you need to do. Always in this book to learn what you're doing wrong so you can fix those things. You can read this book every day for an entire lifetime and still find something new every single solitary day. And chances are you're going to find, when you do find that, that you've been doing something wrong. Then you're going to have to fix that. And the only way to fix it is to repent of it, ask for forgiveness, and move on. We were born into a sin nature. We can't help it. You know, you got to, on a regular basis, pick up your cross and bear it, which means you die every single day. You got to pick it up, pick up your cross, and bear it with Christ. That means that you got to, in some cases, you may have to overlook your family. Get away from it in some cases, or your job, or whatever the case may be. You may have to just throw everything away and do exactly what Christ said and just be a hermit and be out there preaching every day. That's what the apostles did. They lived off of everybody else. I shouldn't really use the words they lived off everybody's because they truly did. They earned their keep, but at the same time, they weren't out there having jobs on a daily basis. They were out there preaching more than ever working. You know, Paul was a tent maker. He was making tents whenever he was doing in these different places to earn his keep. But at the same time, while he was out there making the tents, I can assure you, he was the person that was next to him. He was preaching to him. I will guarantee it. So that was just his nature. That's what he was called to do, and that's exactly what he was doing, and that's what we're called to do. All right, so to finish this up, when the Lord heard your words, he grew angry and swore an oath. None of these men in this evil generation will see the good land I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb and the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land on which he has set foot on because he remained loyal to the Lord. The Lord was angry with me also because of you and said, you will not enter there either. Joshua, son of Nun, who attends you, don't enter it. Encourage him, for he will enable Israel to inherit. The children whom you said would plunder your sons, who don't yet know good from evil, will enter it. I will give them the land and they will take possession of it. But you are to turn back and head to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. You answered me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as our Lord God commanded us. And each of you put on his weapon of war and thought it would be easy to go up into the hill country. But the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up and fight, for I am not with you to keep you from being defeated by your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you didn't listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command and defiantly went up into the hill country. Then the Amorites who lived there came out against you and chased you like a swarm of bees. They routed you from Seir as far as Horm. When you returned, you wept before the Lord, but he did not listen to your request or pay attention to you. For this reason, you stayed in Kadesh as long as you did. So, getting back to this, in the story of Noah, you had eight people. Eight people got on the ark. Story of Deuteronomy, you had two. Two. Well, let me preface it that two above the age of 20 at this point. So if they were above the age of 20, they never made it into Egypt or made it into Israel. And there was some 3 million people. And out of those 3 million people, the ones above 20 that made it in there was two. And that did not include Moses, by the way. He didn't make it. He got to see it, but he never made it in. So the Bible tells us in many places, He who endures to the end shall be saved. You have to endure. You have to do what this book tells you to. You can't turn to false idols and false gods like money and whatever it is. I mean, anything that you put more interest in and more time in than God is technically an idol. That's literally what the word means. So if you put more time into work, then that's your idol. If you put more interest and time into money, that's your idol. If you put more time and interest into your child, that's still an idol. It truly is. A lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. You have to make God your number one. He has to be the first thing you think of when you get up in the morning and the last thing you think about when you go to bed, and you need to be thinking about and talking to all day long. That's where your focus needs to be. And that, my friends, is the way to salvation. Not coming up here, bowing down, repenting, saying that I'm sorry, and then going back out there and doing the same thing over again. That is not the same thing. We're just seeing how you can be saved, but not have salvation. These people did not have salvation. The only two that had salvation was Caleb and Joshua. All 3 million of them were saved because they were saved from Pharaoh. And just like you're saved from sin, but you're not saved from yourself. Mm-hmm. Yourself is the worst thing. And your heart, the Bible tells us, it's evil. Don't trust your heart. I mean, seriously. The Bible tells you, do not trust your heart. It will lead you astray. Do things, when you think about them logically, and think about them things in a biblical manner before you do them. And always, whenever you do something, do it in prayer. Do it in supplication. Understand what you're doing and understand how faith, you have to have faith. And them not having faith, which is what all this truly boils down to, they didn't have faith. They had absolutely zero faith. If they had faith, they would have known that God was going to send Moses back down. If they had faith, they would, I mean, he'd already done it this far. Up to this point, if they had faith, they were known that the pillar of smoke during the day and a pillar of fire at night was going to lead them. If they had faith, they would have known them. If they had faith, you know, all them people that were mumbling and grumbling about, tired of eating manna, wouldn't have died, because every one of them that ate the quail died. They would have had faith and understand that God knows what's in your best interest, what's good for you. Sometimes it may not feel like it's the right thing to do, and it may not be the best thing at the moment for you, but you got to have faith that God's going to lead you through this terrible time. And trust me, we're fixing to go into some terrible times, and they're coming quickly, very, very quickly. You know, one of us, just me and James here a couple of weeks ago, we were going over some of the stuff in Revelation. And I'm telling you, there's some rough times heading towards us, and they're coming quickly, very, very, very quickly. I mean, everything's going into hyperdrive. We don't have much more time left. If you don't have your heart right, you need to get it right. If you don't have it, if I was to walk up to you, Miss Millie, with a gun right now pointed at your head, do you think you're going to heaven? If you have a question about that, then you need to, you know what I'm saying? You need to get yourself right. Because that's literally what's fixing to happen to us. Literally. No joke. I mean, they're literally fixing to start killing us. And you got to have your faith right. If you don't have your faith right, you won't be able to take that. You're going to denounce your faith, pledge your allegiance to Satan, and then you're going to spend the rest of eternity in the lake of fire. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. And people don't want to believe that or realize that, but it's coming. It's coming quickly. It's going to start off by putting you in jail, and then they're going to move on to killing us, okay? And I can assure you, one thing I can assure you, there's going to come a day, probably in the very near future, where particularly myself, because I'm very vocal, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in a local pen somewhere because I'm too vocal. I say what's on my mind. And I don't care if you like it or not. So. All right, I'm on. That's all I got for today. Worry, probably went a little over what I should have anyway. But the main thing is to keep your faith, build your faith, and know that you have to endure to the end for true salvation. You have to endure. You're not truly saved until that time when your ticket's punched, when the good Lord calls you back. And you need to be 100% sure that you're right with God. And the only way you're going to do that is to be right with him now, because you don't know. Like I say, I can die right standing right here. Anybody here could literally pass away on the way home or get in a car wreck or whatever, and, you know, God forbid. But I'm just saying, it's the truth. And we need to have ourselves right. We need to spend more time in God's word. Need to do. Whenever I'm not here on my phone, I've got a Bible app, and on the the Bible app that actually you can get it where it plays, where you get somebody reading it. So it's an audio Bible as well. And whenever I'm not, when I'm working or something, that's what I'm listening to in the background constantly. But because that's not what you learn. And that's how you build your faith. It's faith that's done by hearing and by doing the word. All right, so I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor. Everybody have a very blessed day.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother, for your message today, this afternoon. You know, it's not just enough to read God's word. You've got to put it to work. Just as he was telling you. You've got to get out. You've got to get busy. Because sitting around and doing nothing for God and just being focused in on this world and the things of this world, not going to make heaven your home, but it can sure get you into hell. Well, one thing about it, once you know God's word, you find out that that's one place you don't want to be. Now, why would that be? There's going to be a lot of people there. There's going to be more there than at the other place. And we're told that. It's in the Bible. He talks about broad being the way of destruction. And many there be that will find it. Straight and narrow is the way of salvation. And few there be that will find that one. We don't know just exactly how few. But stop and think about what happened in Noah's day. We're told that it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. There was a lot of people on earth during that day. It wasn't just a few hundred people. There was millions here. We really don't know just how many, but the Bible don't tell us that. But we do know, because we know up until that time how they had been procreating. And we know there was millions before that time. And how many made it? 8. Out of all that was in the world. 8. Noah and his family. His wife, Noah, his wife, his sons and their wives. That's all that made it. Because mankind kept thinking his way was the best and refusing, making fun of Noah for doing what God told him to do. And just as the brother was telling you a few minutes earlier, we're coming into the same thing. And it's not far off. I know it. In fact, I may see it. And at my age, that's letting you know it ain't too far old if I see it. But you take your old age, and let me tell you something, I firmly believe you'll see it. But you know, I've got just a few days left until I'll turn 89. I'll turn 89 years old. A few days. You think God hasn't been good to me? Yes, he has. He's been awful good to me. and still being good to me. I've still got it on my heart to get this battle fight going. But I don't want to be coming here every evening by myself. So I'm going to need a few of you to join with me. We're all supposed to study the Bible every day. That's also in God's Word. He tells us to study every day and to meditate on it day and night. So why can't we get together for our Bible studies? Bring us into a community Bible study. And at the end of the study, we'll have something to hang on your wall. And people will know, you know, at least they've been through the Bible. But by then I expect to see all of them that goes through that Bible living a whole lot different kind of life. It takes time for most. As I've told you all before, everyone don't get everything at the same time. But there's a lot of churches out here teaching that. They're teaching at the same time that you are baptized, you automatically receive the Holy Spirit right then. That's not so, and that's not biblical. And as I've shared with you all before, out of all the years, I've only seen that happen one time. Me, myself, I ended up having to be baptized 3 times. Didn't get that done right. And then it was years down the road before I got the Holy Spirit. And as you go through the book of Acts, you can see there where they'd be baptized in water and they'd have to wait. And we don't know how long, but they'd have to wait for these apostles to come from one place to another place. And they traveled by foot then, mainly. We don't know how many days or weeks or months even went by before they would get there to lay their hands on them, and then they would receive the Holy Spirit. But you see, that's how Satan is getting into our churches and leading people astray. Because they don't know enough, they haven't studied enough, and got deep enough in God's Word with understanding to understand the deception that Satan has brought into the church. I'm not going to hold you any longer, because it's time to close it out. And then we'll close out. We'll spend a few minutes talking to each other and sharing our word. Now, I know how people doubt things. I know that. I live it every day. What about you, Dave? Yes. And you know, I've told all of you that a lot of times, well, you won't never see me with notes. I just don't use them. You'll never see that. You never have, and you've been through this is Yeah, the third church. You've been in here with me. Now, you ever seen me with a note? Nope. Now, I told you I had to leave the house with one thing in mind for the service. By the time I'd get here, the Lord would change it on me. And I'd come in with something I hadn't even read in maybe a week or two. But I want everybody to really know the honesty of it. Everybody has favorite books of the Bible. Favorite books they like to read, or they like the scripture. Don't you, Bobby? So Bobby, I'll tell you what. Sunday morning, when you come to church, give me the scripture you want me to preach on. You don't tell me until we get to church, so that everybody here will know. I have no idea where it's going to come from, because I keep telling all that it comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not smart enough to teach no other way. And we'll see what the Holy Spirit gives Bobby to give to me, because he's the one that's going to have to bring it. And then, I'll be back Sunday night. I've got something in mind right now for Sunday night. I may get to bring it, and I may not, but I've got something in mind. And then next Sunday morning, bring Dennis back again, the next and after next Sunday. Because I want him to get used to it. I want him to be comfortable up here. Because I don't know what God will actually do with him. None of us really know. Because you see, when we get up in the morning, every one of us, the first thing we should do when we get up is to ask God, Lord, what have you got for me today? And he'll let you know, maybe not just at that moment, but it won't be too much longer until you know what he's got for you that day. And actually, he tells us to pray without ceasing, thanking for everything. Be thankful for everything you've got, everything that he gives you, everything he does for you. You be thankful for it. You're giving thanks. And the main thing is always keep seeking for that infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Well, how will I know whether I've got it or not? You know. I'll grant you, you'll know. Because you'll also pick up another language that you don't know. Because you'll get that heavenly language when you get the Holy Spirit. Might shake you up, it did me. And then I asked him, Lord, that don't sound like a foreign language. Where'd this language come from? He said it came from the old sea of the Bible. Long time before I understood what the old sea of the Bible meant, because I couldn't find nothing about the old sea in the Bible. Until he told me, he said, that's the things you see and understand, and that's where it comes from. But I know one thing. I know it all works when you put it together and you walk that kind of life and you stay away from the sins of this world and you praise him for the things he does for you, the things he sees, the things he gives you to do. Praise him for everything. I get up in the morning and the first words out of my mouth, and this is no joke, no lie. First words out of my mouth is, Heavenly Father, I love you. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love the Holy Spirit. That's the first words out of my mouth. And then I'll make my prayer. And I'll praise him. And I'll praise each one of them. Because you see, each one of them is at work in your life. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Because everything has to go through the Lord Jesus Christ from you to the Father and from the Father to you. But it's brought to you by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. All three's at work in your life. But most people out here today don't understand that. They don't see it. And you can tell them about it and they don't want to hear it. For the most part. They're getting harder and harder to talk to all the time. But we can't quit talking. We've got to share his word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close this service, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do. We love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. And we do praise each one in our hearts and our minds for the things that they do for us each and every day. And Father, help us to get greater understanding. Help us to walk in greater love. Help us, Father, to work closer with you, closer with the Lord Jesus Christ, closer with the Holy Spirit. Never let us walk away, Father, from what you have for us to do. Because, Father, we know, even if we don't understand it or understand how, we know that you know how. And it's your will and your way, not ours. But, Father, let it become ours, because we know also, Father, that when we are born again, when we are your children, that we walk with the same spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ walked with while he was here on this earth. We can do the same work that he was doing while here. Your word tells us so. Now, Father, you're saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, that they can obtain peace, Father. But even more so, we pray not only for peace and safety, but that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this land of ours, Father, We know it has walked away from you. It's walked away from your word. It's walked away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's walked away from the Holy Spirit for the most part. But Father, help us to remove those that are in office that's against you, that's against your will and your way. And help us to replace them with those that love you and will work with us, Father, and help us to bring this land to repentance. And help us to put in those into office, Father, that will work with us to put this land back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being, Father, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list this evening, and my prayer, Father, goes out seeking the best, seeking health, seeking safety, seeking for energy, and seeking for the love of God to fill each one of these, Father. Dennis Lee, Kenny Powers, James Taylor, Millie and Bobby Johnson, myself, Terry Coates, Father, all of our families, we pray that the Holy Spirit can work within our families, Father. Turn those around that are walking in darkness and bring them to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, Father, and all will find heaven as their home. And Father, for each name that's called, whatever need they have, whether it be physical, spiritual, or financial, may the Holy Spirit take care of that need. Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Father, for Pastor Smalls, for Pastor Randy Johnson, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, that little Full Gospel Church of God there in Akron, Father. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses, but also make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. And the pastors of those churches, Father, my prayer is that they are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are walking with you, and that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Tell them, Father, to overflowing. Use them in mighty and great ways. Now, Father, my three pastor friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Ivan, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, for Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and David, for Payless Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen Lord and Father, for Terry Johnson. I lift him up, Father. May he join his brother and his mother in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, work with him, bringing men to the church. Now, Father, this church is yours and not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Father, fill this church. Fill it to overflowing. And Father, lead us in what you want of this church, what you want it to do, what you want it to really accomplish, Father. And guide us in all truth, in all ways. Now, Father, be with us as we prepare to separate, to go our own way, to go to our own homes. Keep us safe. Bring us all back together again, Father, come Sunday morning. And Father, we're asking all of this in that sweet, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, everybody. Have a great evening.